This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It's days like today you really appreciate the calm, soothing, wise demeanor of a man that we get a chance to speak to every single week here on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. He is the voice of reason, the man to put everything in perspective for us. Mr. Paul Moyer is here. Hello, Paul.
Well, the Mariners have really got you down, because that was pretty subdued for you.
I had to just keep it even keeled. I had to just bring you in with some ease and some calm. We're trying to keep people calm. And I was telling Dave, I can't imagine what that text exchange was like last night for you. And,
the one that I'm not included in.
I said, well, Dave, you wouldn't know because you're not part of it. But do you think Paul and his Mariner friends were just furiously texting back and forth with each other, raging about what was going on the field?
Mostly, but since you said that I was pulling them, it was about the fifth inning, and everybody said, good night, we'll talk tomorrow.
So you got out before Diego Castillo came in and threw some gas on the fire.
I think it was when Castillo did it. It was 3-0, and then, you know, all of a sudden it was 5-0, and then 6-0, and everybody checked out at that point, which is, you know, it is concerning. The Mariners by no means are out of it. I think they're going to make a run on this thing because the talent's there when we get everybody back. But there's a concern after this weekend that, you know, you could be 9-10 games back if you don't flip this thing around. And that would be tough to come back from. So important games coming up here. Tomorrow will be a good Wednesday game, too, and I think I'm going to go to it. But it feels a little different, the emotion. You know, just service last night, you know, certainly flexing. It was – they weren't trying to spin anything. You know, you can see a little bit of the concern on the coaches and players' face right now.
Yeah, so we were talking about this. You know, what do you do? Like, whose side – or, I'm sorry, who do you blame? You know, is this about Jerry? Is this about Scott? But, like – for Scott, I mean, what do you do in baseball? I mean, you were a football coach, and we always talk about, hey, you can get fired up and run harder and, you know, get in better shape and hit harder. That was always my go-to, is that I was going to hit somebody, even if it wasn't the guy I was supposed to hit. I would, you know, but you can't do that in baseball. I mean, how do you turn it around? I mean, what do you think Scott needs to do with this group right now that they know they can play? They're just slumping right now.
Yeah, I think it's tough just because it's so much is about confidence. And, you know, I don't think, you know, yelling at people, professionals especially, isn't the way to go. I think in football you can do it on occasions, you know, because it's that type of game. Look, man, you just got to go out and do it. And it doesn't take much. I mean, it only takes a game or two where you start feeling it again. But, you know, the old we're in the ninth inning, down one run, I used to – in my group text, we're definitely coming back. Now we're up by one run in the ninth inning. You know, I'm nervous and afraid we're going to lose the game. And it's just, it's weird from last year when you felt like you were going to find a way to win every single game. Just the feeling now is like we're going to lose every single game. So I just hope they turn it around, because winning makes it fun. And it was fun when they were 11-6, and the players said, this is the best clubhouse. It can turn quickly if you're not winning.
Well, and Dave and I were talking about this earlier, Paul, that it was almost this exact time, about 2 weeks later last year, in the month of May, where they had lost 6 in a row. They had lost 11 of 14 in total, and they had just gotten absolutely annihilated by the Padres, 31-7 in a 3-game series, where they just weren't competitive. And I remember, you know, Dave and I coming on the air and just being just mad, just like, you know what, you get beat. That's what happens in baseball. But you weren't even competing. You weren't competitive. And it's almost the same exact feeling. It felt like the season was over and, man, this team is terrible. And then you fast forward, they win 90 games. Now, I don't know if that happens this year, but it's weird that almost the same exact time of year last year, we have the same feelings. You're coming out of a game just going, ugh, what was that? Yeah. You didn't even compete. And it feels like the sky is falling, but you got 132 left to play, and maybe at the end of the season we're going to look back at this moment again like we did last year and go, yeah, I remember that, and it felt like it was all over, and now look at them. They're making a playoff charge.
Well, there's no question we have a better team on paper. I mean, this is – it's a deeper team. We got to get – if we can get, you know, Kyle Lewis, and yeah, I'm sure you guys will talk on this forever, but, you know, if we can get Haniger and Lewis and Giles and obviously Crawford, if you get everybody back – yeah, I mean, you're good, you know, 1 through 8 in the lineup. I think our catchers, you know, it's always going to be a platoon on that one who hopefully has the hottest bat right now. None of them do. I think, again, what's different this year, though, last year we lost 6 in a row, but then we all of a sudden we won 3 or 4. And then we went on another losing streak, and then we won some. You know, the last 11 games we've won twice. You know, there's no break to it. There's just one game wins in between this. We got to string a couple together. It used to be, hey, let's just win series. You know, and now I'm like, well, let's just win a game. You know, I guess that's winning a series if you win 2 out of 3 in most cases. So that's what I've said. They got to flip that. I mean, it's okay to have a short losing streak, but boy, these long ones are really hard to dig out of.
Paul, there's no good segue to get out of this, so I'm going to ask you: Do you put ketchup on your macaroni and cheese?
Oh my God, no!
What?
I first of all, I don't like ketchup. I don't put them on burgers. I put mustard on most things, but I would substitute my macaroni and cheese, which I don't even do because I don't do the carb thing. But if I did, I would probably put a little salsa and Tabasco in it.
No carbs. What's the matter with you? You've changed, man.
Well, I'm trying to look svelte as often as possible.
He's highfalutin now.
That Seinfeld line where he's like, what are you trying to do there? I'm trying to be a healthy person. That's what I'm doing. You know,
like, I'm trying to live.
Yeah, Dave, yeah.
You were saying that, Paul, and Dave squinting his eyes like, what? What is he talking? What do you mean no carbs? What are you talking about?
Bob, I've gone boring. I don't drink anymore. I don't do the carb thing. I try to work out.
Sounds awful.
It's horrible. It's all the things I never did. I used to drink. I used to drink carbs, and I didn't work out. And now, I don't know.
Dave's slumping in his chair with each statement. He's hunched over even more in disappointment.
I work out. I mean, plenty. It doesn't have any effect. But
that's because you haven't stopped drinking.
Hey, let's not air our dirty laundry on the radio.
I didn't say a lot. I just said on occasion, that's all. And obviously you eat macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Dave, you got to run on the treadmill, not get shot across the room on it. You have to run on it for it to be effective.
Bob's favorite thing ever. If I were able to find the video of me falling off the treadmill, Bob would he'd pay a lot of money for that.
Oh, I would, Paul, because the way he described it, him being...
Paul, I was like 4 feet off the ground and horizontal somehow.
And the belt is rubbing on his leg as he's laying there.
Chewed a bunch of skin off my shin, but...
That sounds like my Barney Rubble, Fred Flintstone, the ball got stuck in my finger... bowling speedball.
Oh, that's right.
I got flat backed, lifted me off the ground, straight up in the air, 4 feet. I'm going to say 4 feet. Sounds better. And then the ball did not come out of my hand, Bob. And so I got flat backed, and the ball ended up behind me.
Two loud crashes.
Well, what happened? Let me describe it a little further. First of all, Paul was being competitive because I think there was a like a speed thing,
radar,
you know, gun.
Yep.
Radar.
Oh,
gun.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's trying to throw the fastest one. And what happened? It did get stuck, but then what happened? It carried him to the lanes. If you've ever stepped on the lanes.
Oh, yeah. They're greased.
And that's what happened. And then, yeah. And then I was curled up in laughter for about 10 minutes.
30.
And
no,
the people next to us, the lady, I remember she came by and she's like, oh, my God, he's still laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for bringing that up.
I appreciate it.
Those are two pieces of video I'd pay a lot of money for. Dave on the treadmill and Paul on the bowling alley.
Well, the rookie camp, Paul, and we had John Schneider on yesterday, and it just seemed like, you know, with the draft that they pretty much, you know, got the needs that they had, you know, as far as not really receiver, and that's why those two guys were drafted late. Melton and Derek Young.
Derek, yeah.
So, but yeah, as far as the corners, first of all, what do you think about that Kobe Bryant kid. He looks really like he's maybe NFL ready. And then the things that he says, he's got a lot of confidence. He makes a lot of plays on the football.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about him. He's confident, and you want a corner that says, "Hey, I was the best in the draft," and he was. I mean, he was certainly the best college player in the draft. Now, there's other things that go along the way, you know, with speed and things that get people moved up to the first round. But no, I'm excited about it. It sounded like John was excited about, you know, particularly Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas. You know, he talked about their quickness and Kenneth Walker. And you want to see that. But the thing I remember or thinking about Kobe right now and watching his tape and stuff, I remember my last year coaching, and I basically lost 8 starters. In my last game of the year, I had 16 guys in my defensive back room. I didn't have one guy who started the season with me. And it was bad. We're bringing in people just off the street. And I remember we brought in a veteran guy that I cannot remember his name, but he had played corner a long time. And all I remember looking at him and go, wow, at least he knows how to play. You know, I mean, he's got a feel for the game. He's probably 10 years older than I want, but at least he understands it. And I think of Kobe Bryant as well, you know, our Kobe Bryant with a C. That's what he reminds me. He's just played football. He's played a lot of football in college. He's made plays. He knows how to play that position. And I think he's going to be a really good player for us. And he's certainly going to push to start right from the get-go.
Paul, was it Everson Walls by any chance you're talking about?
I know
we brought him in.
We brought in so many people, and you might have been gone, Dave. This was 94.
Yeah,
I think you were gone at that point. And it was the last game we're playing the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. They were really good that year. They went to the playoffs, and I brought 3 guys in on Wednesday before the Sunday. I'd never met them. I could barely remember their names. And as a matter of fact, when I think. Clayton or one of the old beat writers heard me yell, "Hey, you come with me." I didn't even know their name, but I needed to get them in the room and just teach them a couple of basic calls along the way. We're playing the Cleveland Browns, and I lose 2 starters, 2 of my starter safeties. I got to now put in 2 guys that had been there since Wednesday. They didn't even know the call. It was horrible. And again, just my point is, it's nice when you've gone through a little bit what the Seahawks have gone through, you know, trying to shuffle corners, maybe some pass or prime didn't work out, maybe not as skilled as they need to be. You know it when you see it. And when you see Kobe Bryant, you go, ah, that guy is a corner who can play.
You know, we were talking about the draft class yesterday, Paul, and just who we would expect to start amongst the this year's draft class. Like, who's going to start the season? And I had 3 guys. For me, it was both tackles, and you just brought them up, but Charles Cross, Abraham Lucas. I expect both those guys to be starters. And then Kobe was the other one. If you were going to go through the class and say, all right, I expect that these guys are going to be, day one, going to be starters, who would you point to?
Well, Charles Cross is going to start. I mean, there's just too much invested there, and we don't have a left tackle, so he's going in, and he's going to do well. I think Abraham Lucas is going to battle, but I always – you know, kind of refrain of giving the job to people, because remember, these are still young men.
Right.
They're still boys, and they're going up against guys, even after a couple of years, that are men, and they've got more beef on them. They've just got a little bit more experience, just a little. So unless you're a dominant coming out of college, which not a lot are, not even the top 10 picks are, it's hard to unseat a veteran that knows the system on and on and on. But
he's
like
battling
Abraham
with Jake
Lucas.
Curran.
I like Jake, though. I mean, Jake with me struggles a little bit in pass protection. I think Abraham Lucas, that's where, you know, but God, Abraham's pretty athletic. I mean, he ran a sub 4.5 40. He had the fastest or second fastest shuttle. So, you know, he's an athletic guy who's big. He's definitely going to battle for it. And I always say, if he starts, that means we're better. You know, if we have Curran, you know, hopefully he's improved. But, yeah, I think they both are going to have a chance. I think Cross is for sure. I think Kobe Bryant, I don't want to say he's a for sure. You know, we'll see what happens with Trey Brown, how he comes back from his injury. I think Jones probably has earned the right to start coming back. But he'll be pushed by Kobe Bryant as well.
Hey, Paul, your buddy Tom Brady, and maybe you can just give us a little bit of that story. I'm not sure you've told that that story when you met him with Nick, your son. But did you? I don't know if you saw the $375 million they're offering him to be a color analyst on television when he retires. That's kind of a nice little retirement lump sum there.
Well, it's two zeros too many. Yeah, I mean, 370, 37 million would be a lot. 3.7 million would be incredible. I don't even get it, because to me, the game sells itself. I don't need a name on there. I think what Peyton Manning does, being unique in what they do from a broadcast on Monday nights, is kind of cool. But I'm not going to turn into the game as much as I like Tom Brady just to listen to Tom Brady.
Yeah, does anybody do that with Tony Romo? Do they get return on their investment?
Well, I think what you're looking at there is a brand, right? So remember, this is exclusive from the NFL. These are, you know, CBS, NBC, ABC, ESPN, you know, who are offering this money,
right?
Fox. So for them, it's a brand that, hey, we want to put on a quality event. And so I don't know if you get the return on that capital. But for $375 million, I mean, that's a lifetime contract, obviously. It's got to be. I didn't know all the details to it.
10-year deal.
So $37 million bucks a year?
Yeah.
Why would you play football? I can make more just working a couple days a week. Wow, yeah. That's unbelievable. I played the wrong position. Dadgummit.
You throw that knuckleball, too. That knuckleball with the good football. Ever told you about that?
You told me about
Moyer
it.
It's tough to catch.
That wouldn't have been good for game action, though.
No.
Bob, we're going to do it. Bob, we're going to go over into the parking lot, and I'm going to throw you my knuckle football. I used to test corners and DBs because I said, look, if you can catch my knuckleball, then, you know, because it's moving so fast and you've got to, you know, change directions with your hands and have great concentration, then I felt you could make plays when the ball was in the air. And it was pretty accurate. I mean, there were some guys, Dave, you were awesome at it because Dave was so focused.
Yeah.
You just didn't get a lot of opportunities to intercept during your career. But when you did, I was confident you'd catch it.
Well, it's really weird how much that thing moves. But the many talented Paul Moyer, we can go out in the parking lot. We'll set up a table with a couple of beers, and we'll have a chugging contest. Because I'll put Paul Moyer. Now you don't drink beer. We have to get the near beer, whatever. But I'll put Paul Moyer up against anybody I've ever seen.
I'm fascinated by the description of this. I mean, it's legend now, Paul. I've never seen it, but I've heard about this. So,
like, if you were to stand next to Paul and pour a beer out, he would beat you onto the ground. I mean, that's how fast it goes down.
Yeah,
well,
I need to see
that.
I
can throw it into my mouth, and I'm not as good as I used to be. It takes a little practice, and you know, the diaphragm, it's got to loosen up a little bit. But I'm still pretty good. All the things, Bob, you're learning about me. I can chug beer. I don't
throw
carbs.
You can throw a knuckleball.
Throws a mean knuckleball. Hates ketchup. Yeah,
I know nothing about football, but that isn't the point.
He fell in a bowling alley, and then hey, really quick though, you did have a very cool story about Tom Brady and about how he talked to you and Nick. He was working out at UCLA or something like that, I think you said.
He was living in Bel Air, and he was, you know, didn't want to probably be in New England to work out, and UCLA and Rick Neuheisel were recruiting my son at the time. And it was really cool. I've told the story, but we were walking out to just look at all their facilities, and all of a sudden Neuheisel goes, hey, there's Tom Brady. And I want to say it was Edelman. He had one of his receivers, and then he had his personal trainer with him. And he goes, there's Tom. We're going to go over and say hi. So, you know, I'm like, yeah, this is good. And Rick Neuheisel, who's, you know, he's great at really introducing people. He told him my background, told him what my son was going through, because at the time he had a baseball scholarship to Gonzaga, and he wanted to play football instead. And Tom he grabbed him by the arm or put his arm around his shoulder and talked to him at, you know, how tough a decision it was for him when he left high school, because he loved baseball. And the coolest thing I told this is what got me. We're leaving, and we're supposed to play golf later, but he had to go ask Giselle if he could get away because he had a kid duty. And I'm like, okay, we're playing golf. This is good. But we're walking off, and all of a sudden he goes, hey, Nick, come here. And he grabs Nick again, and he puts his arm around his shoulder, and they kind of walk off by themselves for about 5 minutes. And he just gives him a pep talk about, hey, just go with your passion, your life, you know, whatever you dream of, and you'll make the best decision. And I went, that guy didn't have to do that. That is so cool. And, you know, it's always made me think, you know, when people come up and ask for autographs or want to talk, you know, I try to be engaging. I'm certainly not Tom Brady, but it does show that it makes an impact, you know, just that first impression from people.
Yeah, I've said that for years with athletes. I think it's lost on them a lot of times how big that moment is for that individual. That you said hello, or you took a picture, and it's a throwaway moment for most athletes. Like, you'll sign something, take a picture, and walk off. You don't even think about it. And that kid or that guy or that girl will tell that story to all their friends and family for the rest of their lives, and you'll become their favorite player because you took a moment. I mean, it's just it seems like a nothing thing, but it goes so far. And I think that's so cool to hear about somebody, you know, of that stature, Brady's, you know, level of fame doing that, because I'm sure he just gets inundated walking down the street or going to a restaurant, wherever. But that's very cool, and I'm sure your son he'll never forget that, and maybe Brady's his favorite athlete ever now. I don't know, outside of his dad.
No, Brady's my favorite athlete. My son's like, yeah, that was cool. And it was cool. And it also, I know we got to run, but it also, you know, don't get mad at athletes if they're just that they're busy or they just don't catch your eye or they've got to go somewhere. You know, sometimes you catch them on a wrong day. But if the ones who are really engaged, it's part of your business. You know, it comes back in spades. And that's, I tell that story about Tom Brady all the time. And a lot of times it changes people's perception of him.
Yeah, I've never held it against Dave Wyman for being that way, you know, just kind of not engaging and walking off. I've just assumed he was having a rough day.
Bob's not allowed
busy.
To look me in the eye.
But Bob, you guys need to do a selfie right now and tweet it out.
just showing that Dave's a man of the people.
That's okay.
And he speaks to his fans.
Exactly. We're okay.
See, yeah. I can't get it. Even with your blessing, we can't get him to do it, Paul. It just won't work. Paul,
I know we got to go. Oh, and we didn't talk about Drew Lock, which we're doing next week, the Kentucky Derby, and Baker Mayfield. So just a little tease for next week.
All right, we already go. Got Look material at for next week.
Master of the tease, Paul Martin.
Perfect. Yep. Paul, we appreciate it, man. We'll do it again next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
There you go. There's Paul Moyer. If you missed any of that conversation with Paul or any of our guests, or maybe you just want to hear him again, whatever your reason, go to the podcast page, seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab. Click on our picture. You'll find it there after the show, waiting for you each and every day. And as Dave tells you every time, click subscribe. That way you never have to worry about it again. Meanwhile, is it too early to throw around blame for this Mariners slow start? And what can be done to fix it? We're going to get into that next. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Our thanks to Paul Moyer for joining us in the previous segment. Always a fun conversation with him. Again, in case you just tuned in, that conversation will be available for you on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. El Hombre, Michael Bradley, will join us at 5 o'clock today. I'm sure to gloat, to do a victory lap as a Phillies fan, and can't really brag too much. I mean, they're still under 500. It's not like they're crushing everybody, but they did crush the Mariners last night. So there's that, Dave, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, are they under 500?
They are under 500, yes.
Okay, well, yeah, he can't talk. He can't say anything.
Yeah, he can't. Well, they won last night, so he can talk about that. But he'll be with us at 5 o'clock. By the way, 425 says, I can vouch for what a great guy Dave was. When I met him at Seahawks Live, he talked to me for a while, then later in the evening, when he saw me, he engaged me in another conversation, and it made me feel, in quotes, feel like a million bucks, as he is known to say.
Well, that's very nice.
So there you go.
I had somebody tell me earlier today that I ignored him or something, and I was like, I just don't do that.
Somebody said you ignored him?
Yeah.
That and was
I,
me.
I, Yeah. No, but I mean, if sometimes people will, there'd be, I remember one time I got mad because I was going from, you know, TV to radio, and somebody came up and screamed in my ear, "Go Hawks!" And was just hammered, and I'm just like, and I didn't say anything. I just kind of gave him a dirty look.
Kind of like, really? Is that, all right. There you go. That was fun.
What, just because you're on TV and on the radio that you're a big shot and you can't talk to people? I don't understand that.
I don't know. You don't know. Anybody that, you know, we're lower-level guys. I'm lower level than you. You had an NFL career, but anytime somebody that wants to come up and chat, we always do.
Yeah.
Edgar's, we talked to, we love talking to the people out there. So, yeah, it's cool to hear that story about Tom Brady, though. That's very cool, especially, I mean, somebody that famous who's, it's those moments live forever with that individual.
Right.
They really do, and it's often very much a throwaway moment because you're doing it all the time at that, you know, signing autographs, taking pictures, whatever. You're not going to remember everybody you interact with, but that person is going to talk about that interaction forever or show that picture to somebody forever. Or,
right.
You know, relay that convo. He was so nice to me. He said hello. He gave me his autograph, took a picture, asked about whatever it was. It lives forever with them.
Well, I really appreciate, was it the 425?
Yeah.
Saying that. Yeah, that's really nice. But I mean, for a guy like Brady, I mean, Russell, they're on just a totally different level. And so, you know, I can see if you're trying to get something done or you're trying to go somewhere. I remember one time there was a fan that wanted me to sign a bunch of autographs, and I had like 5 minutes to see my parents. We were in San Diego.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't. And she was like, this is your job. And I'm like, I just did my job. I wasn't overly mean, but I was kind of frustrated because she was saying that I was obligated to do it. But, you know, I wanted to see my parents. You know,
yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you want to go see somebody. And
you superstars are humans, too.
No, I'm just saying it would be like that. Like, that's happened to me once. And, you know, and that was in 9 years of playing in the NFL. I mean, how many times is Brady or Russ have somebody, you know, screaming and yelling, wanting time and things like that?
I remember we'd see it every day out there at practice. At the end of practice, everybody's, Russell!
Yeah.
Just screaming. And they'd walk over and they'd all go over and sign autographs. I'm sure there was somebody that didn't get one that day and was thinking, what a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, they're standing out there in the heat after practicing for hours, sweating to death and signing and signing and signing. And, you know, they could sit there all day and do that. So, yeah, I'm sure there was somebody at some point who had a story about them not being nice.
415 says, Wyman never talks to me, and all just because I haven't yet been in the same place at the same time as him.
Why does that stop you, Dave? You could make the effort.
Yeah.
Come on, man. All right. Well, as far as the Mariners go, it's, you know, on the heels of a 9-0 game, it's almost, you almost laugh. You almost kind of, in the moment, just irritated beyond belief at everything that didn't happen with the offense, everything that did happen with the pitching and relief pitching. But now you look at it, you just kind of go, okay, it's one loss. We'll see what they do today, and you'll feel so much better after a win. But when you look at the team, do you feel like they did enough in the offseason? Because that was a conversation we kept talking about. Hey, you went out and got Cy Young Award winner and Robbie Ray. You love that acquisition. Then there was the idea they'd set you up to believe we're going after bats. We're spending this year. Well, they spent the majority of it actually being spent on a Eugenio Suarez. You know, he's got the most money owed to him, I think, of any position player out there. Maybe JP has exceeded him now with his new extension. But of position players, I believe he's the second highest paid on the roster. And Winker was really the heart of that deal. That was the guy. And the Reds were saying, well, you want him, you're going to take the salary from Suarez as well. So those were your two acquisitions along with Adam Frazier. And you went, okay. You know, you look at the history of these guys. Winker was an all-star. Frazier's had some really good years. Suarez is, you know, we talked about earlier, you know, 3 years ago, he had, you know, hit for good average and power a couple years in a row. So you're thinking, if he can get back to that, this could work out well. But at the same time, I remember thinking, I wish they could have brought in one more established bat. That would make me feel so much better. Do you feel like they came up a little short in off-season acquisitions?
Well, I guess not. I guess just because, again, I'm going back to, if you're Jerry DePoto, you're thinking, okay, I'm hoping that I can capture, and then I shouldn't compare it to the Seahawks because they didn't really have a choice, you know, but that's who they got in Drew Locke. And, you know, maybe you can capture whatever good, you know, part of his career. But for Eugenio, it's, you know, the 34 home runs and 104 RBIs 1 year, or the 49 home runs and 103 RBIs. You're hoping to get back to that. When was the shoulder injury again? Because you said something about falling into his
pool. Apparently he had fallen into his pool and hurt his shoulder. And I'm not, what was that, 2 years ago, Thumb, that happened? And he'd, so I don't.
It's probably about the same time I fell off my treadmill.
Well, you've recovered.
My shoulder
really
has not been the same. But yeah, I don't know if that's what's what the problem is. But I don't know. I think also you got to think about fit, and what if there was a guy that had a bat that is just somebody you don't want in your clubhouse?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you never know about that. I felt like they did a good amount, but I mean, to me, most of it has to come from the young guys. That's where it needs to come from Julio and Jared Kelnick and Logan Gilbert and Matt Brash and now George Kirby. So, it's about more than, you know, who they acquired in the offseason. It's more about continuing to develop this incredible farm system that they've been building up over the years.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem, is counting on prospects and youth and players that just have no resume other than what they've done in the minors and what they're projected to do. And we talked about the bust rate in Major League Baseball, and not every, as much as we hear about every one of these players, they're not all going to pan out. Maybe Kelnick's not that guy. Maybe Emerson Hancock won't be that guy, or Noel V. Marte, or, you know, we hear these names over and over and over, so they almost feel like sure things when you talk about them that much, but it's just not how it works out. So it feels dangerous to go in counting on those guys. Yeah, you're hoping. You want to supplement your team with proven players around these guys and allow them to develop and take some of the pressure off of them.
Well, do you blame – I mean, where are you with Kelenic? I mean, because I feel like you're starting to get to the point. They gave him a lot of chances. I mean, he came in saying – he could have played the year before.
Yeah, I think that he proved that would
2021. So, and then he didn't do anything, gets sent down, comes back up. I think he finished strong, had a tough August. And then, you know, he comes back and he is where he is, and it's just not, it's not working. So I feel like it's time for him.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
He's getting a lot of opportunity that if Kyle Lewis and Mitch Haniger are both healthy, this is not from sources or anything, I think we're looking at Kelnick in AAA. He's played a really good defensive right field. He is beyond struggling at the plate. So I think he's getting a lot of opportunity based on the lack of availability of some other guys there. And to this point, he's really not made the most of it, unfortunately. So we'll see what happens with him when everybody becomes healthy. But right now, they need him out there. So hopefully he can get things turned around. Meanwhile, we spoke with John Schneider yesterday, and he said something that caused a lot of ears to perk up. We'll tell you what we're talking about next. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Got the NHL draft lottery going on right now, Dave. Trying to see where the Seattle Kraken are going to land. And we know for a fact they'll be in a top seven, because they've been going 16, working their way from the bottom up. I know you like to go the other way typically when there's a top 10 list, but they're working their way from 16 up to number one, and they've gone through the first 8 picks, of which the Kraken name has not appeared, and it still has not appeared, so they'll have at least a top 6 pick in the upcoming
NHL
draft.
I'm going to go 3, Bob. What do you say? Hurry up.
Well, I'll say a top 2. How about that? They're going to get the first or second overall pick.
Let's say they get the third pick.
What do you think, Thumb? Where are you at? Quick.
Yeah, number Quick. 2 sounds good.
All right.
I think they have rigged it so Montreal gets the number 1 overall pick.
Were they the worst team?
And the draft is in Montreal. So
they've rigged it. You think this whole thing's fixed? Well, it'll be a top 5
pick.
Well,
it looks like it's pretty much followed the odds so far. So I think, yeah, it's going to probably be Montreal. And then Kraken, maybe they sneak in and get 2.
Do you know how they do this? Is there like ping pong balls behind the...
Like the top 3 teams have significantly better odds, but, you know, it's percentages. And
top 4 now.
All that.
Yeah. Flyers at number 5.
Flyers with the 5th overall pick in the upcoming NHL.
Oh, C1 was skipped. Wow.
What?
Look, one team with the odds got skipped. The better odds, it looked like the Devils.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They had the better odds, and okay. Well, we'll see. They're unveiling number 4. Oh, they're cracking number 4.
Wow. Can't even win it being bad.
They didn't.
How come all the GMs are so excited?
Yeah, none of them look happy.
I don't know. Maybe it's not the the timing is off a little bit or something. So, but
yeah, I don't know.
Remember the in the NFL they used to have the lottery draft, and how the Seahawks got Brian Bosworth is they put keychains in, and I have a little Seahawk helmet keychain.
Is that the supplemental draft they did?
Supplemental draft. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think it was you put in the number. There's only 28 teams there. So if you won the Super Bowl, you got one.
Okay.
And if you were dead last, you got 28. And I think the Seahawks, they finished out of the playoffs, but I think they were 10-6. So they had like 12 or 13, something like that. And they pulled it out of the thing. And it
Bosworth just was on his way.
And it was on the day that I graduated from Stanford. I get that news that I open the paper. I'm sitting on the can at my girlfriend's house. I open
so
up
romantic.
The paper, and it says, Seahawks get Bosworth. I'm like, you have to be kidding me.
Oh.
And it wasn't like I got on my cell phone and called my agent or anything.
You didn't have a cell phone.
Didn't have anything. Yeah, I was like,
you got out a piece of paper and a pencil and wrote a strongly worded letter. That's
yeah.
what you did.
But yeah, that was, and then, but you know what? All the focus totally shifted to him.
Yeah, yeah. Taking the heat off of you.
Pressure off.
So there you go. The Seattle Kraken will have the fourth overall pick in this coming NHL draft. But who knows? They've got like 8,000 picks, and they can maybe they'll package some and move up even higher.
You know what I hope, Bob? I just hope they get a player like Matty Beniers.
That's right. That's right.
Matty Beniers.
Just say the name over and over and over.
Well, Matty you can Beniers. Ask John Morosi
about Matty Beniers
on Thursday, who the yeah. new name
yeah,
to
the
watch
top
for
four.
Is. Yeah.
Meanwhile, we spoke with John Schneider yesterday. A really fun conversation with John. If you guys missed that, it's up on the podcast page for you at seattlesports.com. Talked about a lot of different things, but we asked him about the quarterback position and you know the idea of bringing in more names. You know, I asked him is it settled with the guys you have, a couple of free agents they brought in, and then you've got three guys signed. Is it settled, or are you still looking to add to the competition at that spot?
We're always, you know, looking to see what the landscape looks like, especially at that position, right? We always talk about the quarterback and the head coach being the most important people in the building, right? So you're constantly evaluating and watching and see what's happening throughout the National Football League. But you know, we have a lot of confidence in the guys that are here. I mean, Jacob Eason can throw it around the park like crazy, and so can Drew and Gino. And so you know, we have confidence in those guys, and you know, we'll keep looking and see what's going on.
You know, I think first of all, how come he didn't include himself? And he's like, the most important, two most important are the quarterback and the coach.
Well, because he's right.
He didn't throw his GM in there. GM's really super important is what he should have said. Super
yeah.
duper important.
He'd be next.
Yeah.
He'd be next.
But no, I think when they talk about quarterback, everybody just a little bit in the back of their mind is thinking, well, he's not going to be Russell Wilson. You know, but I think, and that, I don't think they want to say this, but I think they're looking for a game manager. I mean, that's what they're looking for. I mean, and I think no matter how you think about it, it does creep into your mind that we're not going to have Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is one of the top, you know, one of the 12 guys or 11 guys or however many you have. Do you have Kyler Murray as a?
No.
I don't either. No. He got kicked off the list for me when he lost the playoff game. And he's sub 500, but I mean, he's one of those guys now. Denver has him, and yeah, I feel like that's always going to be, you're not going to be happy until you see them replace that position with a guy who's either developing into, or you can see glimpses of being one of those guys. And what I'm talking about, and this is just, I don't know if everybody does this, but Bob and I do on this show, you go through and look at the quarterbacks and go, I'm sorry, that guy's a good quarterback, but he's not a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill, you know, to me, not on the list. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. But we're talking about Aaron Rodgers,
yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, and Russ was on that list. So until you can get the guy that goes, by the way, your conspiracy theory was right.
Montreal was the number one overall pick, followed by New Jersey.
Shifting the power back to Canada.
Arizona and Seattle.
And it's in Montreal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Of course. It's rigged.
Totally rigged.
But yeah, I mean, I think that people need to get used to that, in my opinion. And look, you're always, like Pete would not say that because he's, no, you know, you want the best out of everybody and always compete and all that. But in reality, if you go in with those three guys, not Baker Mayfield, because I really don't think that's happening, but that's just my opinion. But if you go in with those three guys that John talked about, really, you would do really well to get a game manager out of that.
Yeah. All right, coming up, can the youth movement carry this Mariners team this season? We'll get into that next. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com.